Samuel Mockbee founded the Rural Studio, you know, sometime in the mid-1990s. Is this correct? Yes? Okay. And what were the founding principles of the studio?
I think one of the big founding principles behind the Rural Studio for Samuel Mockbee was that he really wanted to instill a set of ethics into his profession and inspire students to have those kind of ethics. And for him, it just happened to be manifest in design and art and architecture. Sambo really felt that his profession and that art and design could be a lot more socially responsible and have effect on communities. And he very much cared about the communities of Mississippi and Alabama, where he was from. And he wanted to create an experience where young students not only physically created homes and community facilities and helped out an impoverished community, but they also had an experience in which they were opened up to how they could impact the world over the course of their lives. And they felt confident in doing that, and they had this very broadening, enriching experience, and also misconceptions about poverty and race and class were really upended by the whole experience.
And he had gone to school at Auburn, I guess, and so and had grown up in Mississippi. And so, you know, in his formation of this idea, what drew him back to that area of Mississippi and Alabama?
Well, he was really proud of being from Mississippi, and he was a fifth-generation Mississippian. He was really from there. And he knew that came, you know, it's a lot of good and there's a lot of bad, and it's a deep history. And he really wanted to play a part in pushing forward on what was good about the South and what could be better about it, and how we could bring communities together, different groups of people that hadn't necessarily worked together before. Architects seemed to be for rich, affluent people. He wanted to bring that to for everyone. And it was important for him. He said it many times, there's, you know, more than enough work to do in your own backyard. You don't have to go far to find people in need, and you don't have to go far to find a place where your skills can be used to help other people have a better life. And so he wanted to stick with, you know, where he was from.
Well, you know, it's interesting that there's this there's one interview that's taking place in the film, and there's a gentleman who basically comes out and says that architecture is supposed to challenge you, you know. But I get the sense that, you know, y'all may not share that view. And would that be a fair assessment?
Not necessarily. Do you want to do
that? Well, it's just the way he comes across in his interview. And I mean he's got his ideas, and they're very valid artistic ideas about what architecture is supposed to do. But you're right that in the film he comes out as the antagonist about, you know, this is what architecture is supposed to do. It's not supposed to, you know, do, you know, be for everybody. It's supposed to, you know, challenge you and make you, you know, think differently and all these things, you know, which in some ways is correct, but in some ways is little slightly different than what the principles of the film are going for, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's very much there in the film to be another point of view, the other side of the spectrum. And he does have a different view of architecture, that yes, it challenges you and it should be something bold and stand out from the context and really grab you. And I think there should be a lot of architecture like that. And there's a role for his architecture, and Sambo very much liked his architecture and really respected his ideas as well. I think for Sambo's side of the spectrum, he felt that the kind of work that he did, where he was trying to inject more social responsibility into it and really consider all the people that were going to be living in the project and going in and out of it, I think he felt that more of that could be sprinkled across the spectrum, and that maybe the guys like Eisenman or Richard Meyer or some other big well-known folks could maybe still do the museums and the big bold buildings, but maybe a little something else too.
Those buildings are often seen as in service to the public, but we're talking about a community that doesn't even have access to some of the, to that public. I mean, this is people in Alabama that are, you know, and that really need some help to just have some the basic services, to, you know, water and shelter. And so access to these kind of big public civic buildings that are supposed to lift their spirits and challenge their, you know, them, they don't really have access to. And I think Sambo saw it as an opportunity, is for students and these people in Alabama that need some help in rural Alabama to see that, to be a part of structures and places that actually can lift their spirits as well.
So how does the Rural Studio interact with the community before a project gets started? How does it come to fruition in that regard?
Well, I think that what's happened now is that the Rural Studio is just embedded and become a part of the community, and so their it's a really natural. I think that's the way it started too, is that Sambo was a Southerner and he was from there, and he immediately, the community that he was trying to work with trusted him, and I think that the students, no, they didn't. Not everybody trusted him. There was a slow growth, but I think nobody else. Sambo had a real natural ease in making people comfortable, I think, and he was able to get some of the people to say, "Hey, okay, let's try this. Come out here, bring your students out here, and let's try this." And after that, the students were welcomed into the community, and it's become pretty natural now. And so it's really not that hard to find a project anymore either. You know, it's like everybody's saying, "Hey, this is neat work. It's not even just houses now. It's community projects at the Rural Studio too."
Yeah, there's that great guy in the film who, like, towards the beginning says, "Man, they haven't done nothing around here. What's going on? And they haven't built me a house." And then at the end, he's really kind of felt, oh, yeah, they're a part of the community.
That's kind of what I'm talking about, is that Peanut, at that time, Sambo had got us into Hale County and got this program started, but it was small projects scattered throughout Hale County. And Peanut, the character you're referring to, he hadn't really seen the results of the work. He'd just seen the students there, and he still had the same misconceptions about the practice of architecture that a lot of the public has. And now that the students have been there for 10 or 15 years, it's something pretty special has happened. And Peanut is a great, example of that.
And I think if you're going to do this kind of work and work in communities using art and design and architecture, you really have to know that community and come from it and be well versed in it. And so Sambo, being a Southerner, obviously he knew that. And so then there's people in our film like Hank Lewis, who has a program called Design Build Bluff, who was influenced by Sambo. And here's another example. His program is in Utah. He works for Navajo Indians. He's lived in Utah for 30 years. The town where he stationed his program, he had a house there for 10 years, and he knew everyone really well. So people trusted him before, 10 years before he even started building things. And so it's that kind of connection to a place and people that they really, it's necessary.
Yeah. Well, the folks that have houses built for him, Music Man, for example, in the film. The film follows the construction of his house, and you see beforehand, what he's living in, this kind of low ceiling trailer. And then at the end of the film, there's this very beautiful house with a lot of room in it, perfect for, blaring the radio and everything and really getting into the groove and stuff. But I want to know, how they work with individuals and what happens to the people once they move into the houses that are built for them, and how do their lives change, if at all?
I think that Sambo and the Rural Studio, it was always clear that we wanted whoever received this house to take it and to make it theirs and to feel like it was theirs, and so we wanted that to happen during the design process. But more importantly, after the project is done, that it is theirs, and they do what they want with it. And Music Man's was an interesting example. I remember the students saying early on in the design process, "Well, Music Man's a collector of a lot of things," and they said he's just gonna, his trailer was filled up with stuff, and they said he's gonna fill up this new house with stuff too. And I remember one of the students saying, "Well, let's leave room up in the top for," and they described it as leaving room for his spirit, and it also had functional, it allowed air to move through the space too. But now that now when you go back and you see that the place Music Man has done, he has filled it up. But that space up in the top, really does allow room for light and air, and I think Music Man's spirit to really live and in that space.
How many projects does the Rural Studio take on per year?
Nowadays, I believe that the Rural Studio probably has probably five or six projects going on at any given time. I mean, it's the commitment from the students is pretty amazing. I mean, students that will graduate and finish their term out there and haven't completed their projects will stay out there another year or year and a half to complete projects. And there's also outreach students from other disciplines and other universities that come and spend time there as well. And so there's probably five or six, eight projects going on at any given time in Hale County or Perry County.
I think, you know, following up on an earlier question, I think there's definitely a misconception that architecture is supposed to stay the same. You know, it needs to be lived in. And I think there's a misconception and a pretty elitist misconception about the Rural Studio and this kind of work is that it's a misconception about, can poor people take care of their homes? You know, how do they treat these places? And I mean, they treat it like anyone else would treat their house. They live in there and they change it the way they need to, and it gets wear and tear like any house does. I mean, you know, people always say, well, do they know how to take care of the house and everything? Well, I don't know how to take care of my house. You know, I got to hire people like my co-producer Jack to come fix things. You know, I don't know what to do. So I feel like that misconception is that idea is really misplaced.
That becomes a learning opportunity for the students too, to go back. It's like a library of projects now, is for the students to go back and look at the hay bale house, which was built in 1993, while they're building another house in 2010. They can really look at how things have aged and what successes and failures they've had. So it's become a real library of an archive, of, you know, living library of work out there too.
And how does it feel to see your father's story on screen in this fashion?
Well, it's such an honor to see him up on the screen and to see him up on the screen and to hear him talking and to hear how timeless his thoughts and ideas really are. It's so simple. It's about taking care of your neighbor and using your skills to make the world a better place. And that's timeless. And I love that, you know, he's up there and people are going to hear that. And of course, personally, it means a lot to me. But then also just as an individual making my way through life, it's great to see that, you know, all I have to do is look out my back door and there's somebody that could use my help. And I'm going to depend on other people for the rest of my life. And it's these communities that are formed are, you know, they are rooted in place, but you can take them with you as well. And that's what's so great to see with the students. You know, it started in 1993, so now we're on, that's 17 years. So those first students are really just, you know, for most architects, it's an old man's profession. They're just about to start hitting their peak. And that ripple effect, that's exactly what he wanted to see. And it's great to see. They're all over the world, and they're all still talking about those experiences at the Rural Studio. And you don't have to be an architect, an artist, or a designer to take those core values and use them in your own life. And it's a real honor to have this film be made.
And I was just going to add that the sense of community that you experience there is really, really, really enriching. Obviously, Jack, who taught there and was a student there, was very immersed in the community and a part of it. But then through making the movie for me, I went down there so much that I feel like I'm part of the community now. And people recognize me, and I learned so much about relating to people all across the spectrum. And it's real special for me, and it's changed the way that I'm probably going to make films and the way I interact with folks day to day.
So. Oh, can I make one more thing? I think, too, it's about accountability. If you are invested in your community, and it's not cliche, it's true. If you know your neighbor and your neighbor knows you, you're more accountable to do the right thing. And you can't just earn that overnight. It's day in and day out, and you have to show up, and you have to be honest, and you have to be a team player. You can't just swoop in and decide that you want to do something good for somebody. No, it's more about getting to know what's the situation and what's the lay of the land and taking the time and investment to create those relationships that really do matter. And the Hay Bale House, which was the first project back in 1993, the owner of the house, Shepherd Bryant, my father knocked on his door and said, "You know what? My name's Samuel Mockby. I've got some students. We want to come out. We want to build you a house." And he said, "I don't think I'll take one of those today." And my father just kept going back. And certainly this guy was skeptical, but he showed up every day. Those students showed up every day. They still show up every day in that same community. And that's what it's all about.
That's a good way to end it. Thank you very, very much. We appreciate your time.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And congratulations.
Thank you.